This has been a very exciting yesterday afternoon and morning and yesterday morning and really this morning study that I've done, and I'm really encouraged and excited about sharing it with you. God's doing things, and I like to prepare the week prior to visiting ministry. And if I know about their ministry, I like to prepare us so that we will be ready for that ministry. And so that's what the Lord's put on my heart to do this week, is prepare us concerning worship and praise. Maybe some looks at some thoughts and some things that maybe we haven't looked at quite like this before. God spoke to me about 2 months ago or so and just really let me know that we were going to enter into a new realm of worship and praise. And also, Randy Adler, one of the things that he told me in some of our private times that he and I had together was that we are a trend-setting church. That in this area, the other ones will be following us. We'll be ahead of the pack, and there'll be things that we do that they won't like. But there'll also be things that we do that they do like and that they will take back to their tribes with them, back to their clans. But there's a lot of things that God's going to be doing with us and through us that's going to be trend-setting. Today you'll see one. And if I've seen anything that bore witness with we are right on the mark with what I'll be ministering this morning and what's going to be happening here in just a few moments, we've seen it today. The praise and the worship has just lifted us into a new realm of worship, and we've just really enjoyed it. I've just really experienced a real lifting and excitement in my spirit today. Let's look at Acts chapter 13. I want to grab one scripture from there, and then I'm going to the Old Testament. And what I want you to see, there are two people that we'll be looking at. Basically, this morning, we'll be looking at those with a heart after God and those with a heart after themselves. And I'll be in asking you a question and challenging you to look at your own heart and see where your heart is at. Let's pray. Father, I know you've given me this. Lord Jesus, I know that this is of you. And so, Lord, as we expound upon it, and Lord, as we minister the Word of God, Lord, I just ask that you bring forth the anointing, Lord, that you've put within me, and Lord, that it goes forth on anointed ears. And Lord, knowing that the divine nature of yourself, Lord, that every person here is here not by happen chance, but Lord, you direct the feet of men. And Lord, that we are here because you want us to be here, and the things that we'll be hearing will be because you want us to hear these things. And so, Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to let it go deep within our hearing. Lord, let us meditate it and chew upon it today at lunch and this day. And, Lord, tonight also as we look at the same subjects. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, that you anoint the speaker and, Lord, that you anoint the hearer. And, Lord, that we not be only hearers of the word, but we be doers also. We praise you, Lord, and we magnify you, and we thank you for the exquisite praise service, Lord, that we've just experienced. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Of course, what's happening here is Paul is at Antioch. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. What did God go hunting for? A man that would fulfill his will. And how did he know that he had one? What did he look at? His heart. God always looks at the heart. You and I, we look how we dress. Some of you have noticed my tie bar and my tie clip and my silver cufflinks that I'm wearing. You know, we always look at the person, but God looks at the heart. We look at one another's hair. How do they fix their hair? What kind of clothing do they wear? But God looks at the heart. Is it wrong to look at the outward appearance? No. I'm a witness to the city, right? And how would it look if I constantly went around in short shorts and no shirt? Huh? You see, I have to portray what I am. Outwardly, I must display what I am inwardly. And so I try to look like a kingdom person. I try to do all that I can outwardly to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lance was down in school, and Lance really doesn't like to wear socks. I'm not picking on you, Damon. Don't think I am. You just gave me the thought. But Lance didn't like to wear socks, and so he was down there at school, and he was laid back around the front row with his, just like he's doing, his legs crossed and hairy legs showing. And the speaker said, "This boy here does not impress me a bit, not wearing socks. I would not impress this city one bit if I wore short shorts and no shirt." First of all, I've got nothing to impress them with if I wore short shorts and no shirt. So sometimes we dress nice to cover our frailties. But you see what I'm saying? Dressing nice is not bad. That's not what I'm saying. But God's not looking at how we dress. What God's looking at is our heart. And he found in David, he went searching. You get the gist of that scripture. I found David. God's still looking for Davids.
Amen.
Huh? He's still out searching and he's still looking. And he's going to find them. He's going to find a people that is after his own heart. A people that is so much in tune with God, their whole life is centered about God. From David's childhood, from the time he was just a little shepherd boy, to the time he was an aged king, he was always about the things of God. His interest was the kingdom of God, the covenant of God. God is still looking for a David people. And that's why in the book of Acts in the 15th chapter in the 16th verse it says that I will restore again the tabernacle of David. Not the tabernacle of Saul or the tabernacle of Moses. God wants a people that's after his heart.
Hallelujah.
And he's going to look and he's going to seek and he's going to find such a people. Now I want to be that people. I want to be in the midst of that people. I want to be a man after God's own heart. Now, we're going to look at two kinds of people here in just a second. People that are after God's heart and the people that aren't. David's life from shepherd boy to the aged king revolved around the desires and the things of God. He was a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Thought Tebow had read my notes. Been the kind of the topic of my household here the last couple of days, as I've been up yesterday morning and this morning looking at scriptures and doing some word studies. God wants a people that understand him so well. I heard James Robinson say something this morning that I hope I never forget. I don't believe I will. He said that he was ministering one day and he said to his people, and he heard himself saying it without pre-thinking it, so he knew it was coming from his spirit. And he said, "I want you to know Jesus better than I know Jesus." And he said he had to stop and reevaluate that a little bit. But said he knew that it was God. And he said he knew that God wants us to know him even better, if possible, than his son Jesus did. Now, that's kind of hard because Jesus is God. I understand all that stuff, you know, and it's difficult. But Jesus wants a people that know him. And in John chapter 4, it tells us, he says, that the Father seeketh such to worship him that will worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants a people that understand him and know him as Father in the spirit and truth. Not just as God, not just as Jehovah, not just as the supplier, but as the Father. So, this is kind of what we're looking at here today. We want to know him in the entirety of himself. Not just a little bit. We want to be after the very heart of God. Is that all right? We want to be after the very heart of God. We want to know the depths and the intimacies of him. Was David that way? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 6. Did I say that? 1 Samuel? Okay. I'm through there. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. I was there also. So. But in 1 Samuel, I wasn't altogether wrong. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says that the Lord, and that's capital L-O-R-D, which always means Jehovah, the covenant God, that your covenant God looks at the heart. He does not look at fixed hair. He does not look at the clothes we wear. But he looks at our heart. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. What we have here is the story of the entering in of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth, which is a type of the presence of God. We've done a study on the tabernacle of David, and we understand that the Ark of God represents His very presence. We've done a study on it, and we know that the Ark, the golden box, was a replica of and represented to the nation of Israel His very presence, His essence, His presence. And when the Ark was there, then so was God. Now, that was their ways of thinking. And so in here in the city of Jerusalem, David goes and to the house of Obed-Edom's, and he brings back the presence of God. He brings back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth, and he brings it into the city. And we're going to talk about probably tonight that entrance, that bringing in the presence of God. What must come, and I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts just this morning, what must come with the presence of God? But what I want to look at right now is that presence come into the city, you had two types of people. Two types of people. Those that were involved in what God was doing. Those that were down there with David dancing with all of their might. Those that were down there with their instruments, down there with shouting, down there with their psalteries, down there with their harps, down there with all of their might doing what God was doing. Then you had those that were up in the windows looking at what God was doing and criticizing it and despising in their heart the very thing God's doing. You have the same type of people today in the church world, and we have the same type of people in our fellowship. So what I'm doing this morning is encouraging you and challenging you to look at the Scriptures and then compare them to your heart. 2 Samuel 6:16. Let's go back to 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. What's God looking at? Her heart. Here's the king of all of Israel. This mighty man, 40 years old. It's about how old I am. Out here leaping and dancing and playing before God. And here's Michal looking upon David. And it was interesting to me when I saw this and even looked in the Strong's Concordance. I looked up the name Michal and see what it meant. But here even it says Michal, not the wife of King David, but Michal, the daughter of Saul. Not Michal, the wife of the king, but Michal, the daughter of Saul. And I'm persuaded that Saul still got a lot of daughters. Well, maybe you don't think so. But I think Saul still got a lot of daughters that are despising the Davids. Now, verse 20, David takes the ark and he puts it into the tabernacle which he had prepared, the tent. Then in verse 20 it says, then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaidens of his servants, and as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all the sons to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in mine own sight. And of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. We're looking at two people, the Davids and the Michaels. The Davids and the Michaels. The problem is this. Michael's on the wrong side of the window. Had she been down there with David and doing and involved in what God was doing, she wouldn't have been up there with a despising heart. There's a lot of people sitting in the windows today. And they sit there and they look at what God's doing. Well, they ought to be down there involved in what God's doing. Not watching it to see David, but get down there so they can be around the ark. A lot of people watch us to see what crazy things, what mistakes we make. I don't want them watching me. I want them to see the Christ in me. If you look at me, I promise you, I will displease you. I promise you, I will make mistakes. But if you look at the Christ in me, if you look at what motivates me and what drives me, you can look past, you can look beyond, you can look beyond all those fleshly things that I've got and see the ark in my life. And if Michael was down there, she had no business up in the room. She should have been down there with the nation of Israel doing what God was doing. But she's Saul's daughter and not David's bride. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? So what we're shown here is a very picture of the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, as it enters into a city. Now, we're going to have the very same picture of the presence of God entering into this city. As the presence of God comes, you're going to have a people that do exactly what the nation of Israel was doing, and you're also going to have a people doing exactly what Michael's doing. How about that? The problem is they're on the wrong side of the window. They don't want to get involved in what God's doing. They just want to criticize God's people for doing it. So I want to give you some overheads here that will help you a little bit. The first one that I want to show you is the qualities which will accompany His presence. So let me dig it out. I wasn't sure I was going to go overhead. Will somebody get those lights for me up here, please, so that we can see. Qualities which accompany His presence. In this city, or any city, any place, any church, any home, any individual, you can take it to the least or as far to the world if you want to. But these are the qualities that are going to accompany the presence of God. First of all, there's going to be a people with joy and rejoicing. There's going to be a people that's just going to be so happy to come to church and praise God. There's going to be a people that praise God in their house. You're going to see them hopping around, worshiping God and magnifying Him in their own homes, listening to praise tapes and just worshiping His name, playing songs on the radio and, boy, just getting into prayer. They're going to be joyful. They're going to take that through town with them. The same joy is going to follow them wherever they go. They're just rejoicing people, happy. Second thing, a people dancing and playing. A people that dance and play before God. Now, I'm going to give you some word studies here in just a second and show you what all I'm talking about. A people that dance and play before God. A people that aren't inhibited and aren't concerned about what Michael's going to say about them. They just don't care anymore. All they want to do is get after the heart of God. David was a man after God's own heart. He sought God's heart. He said, I'll be more vile than thus. All I want to know is God. That's all I want to know. I don't care about you, Michael. I don't care what you got to say about it. I'm going to dance. I'm going to play before my God.
Hallelujah.
Then there's going to be a people who will worship Him with all their might. I just love. Not pity patties. I mean, they're going to be a people. And I'm not just talking about clapping your hands and hopping around and swinging your limbs. That's not what I'm speaking about. I'm talking about in spirit and in truth. And they're going to give all of their might to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, everything they do, they're going to do it with all their might.
Amen.
Fourth one, people who offer sacrifices. This is probably one of the most sacrificing fellowships I've ever known. You people give. I mean, you just sacrifice. But these people are going to the tabernacle of David, and there they will offer sacrifice. There's a sacrificing people. The presence of God cannot come until there's a people that will sacrifice to get it. It cost money. It cost lives. It cost everything we've got to get the presence of God here like we so desire for it to be here. Now, it's not here like I want it here yet. Is it like you want it here yet?
No.
All right. Then we haven't offered enough.
Amen.
Woo! It's going to cost. And it's not just your money. It's your life.
Praise God.
And then, fifthly, what are they going to be? Michaels. Always got to be Michaels. Going to be a Michael people. And when you look at the New Testament and you say, well, that's the Old Testament, Delbert. I don't see that in the New Testament. Well, then you haven't looked at Jesus' triumphal entry. When he rode into town, what was there? Was there a joyful people? Was there a people rejoicing? Hosanna to the King! Was there people dancing and playing and laying their garments down so that his donkey could ride across them? Yeah! Was there a people who wanted to worship him? Was there a people that was ready to offer for him? Yeah! Thought they were. But there was also a Michael company, wasn't there? If you don't stop them from hollering and doing all this crazy stuff, if you don't stop them from doing it, then the law is going to come and get after us, they said. And Jesus says, I can't stop them. If I was to try to stop them, the stones themselves would cry out.
Hallelujah. Amen.
So those are the things. Those are the things that are going to accompany the presence of God into our lives, into our families, into our church, and into our city. Those are the very things that are going to come with it. Okay. I've got a couple of more, Dewey, if you just want to. If you can see me, okay. Just leave it on. I want to look at some of the expressions of the Davidic worship that David expressed here. Let's go ahead and put this one back up. Or one up. Expressions of Davidic worship that we see here in these verses. I want to do a word study because I really wanted you to have a clear vision of what the king of all of Israel was doing. And when we type King David to the New Testament, who do we type him with? Jesus. Okay. I just want you to have that. There's one scripture that speaks about Jesus, how he rejoiced in his spirit. And though the scriptures never come out and say that he actually done an exuberant dance, that particular word really hints to it. But I want you to see what we are shown here in Davidic worship because, again, Acts chapter 15, verse 16 tells us that he is rebuilding again the tabernacle of David. And that's what they did at the tabernacle of David is they worshiped God. So I want you to see here. So let's look at 2 Samuel 6:16 again. 2 Samuel 6:16. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. That word leaping right there is pizzazz in the Hebrew. How many want some pizzazz in their life? Huh? Boy, we need some pizzazz. Do some leaping. What it means is to spring, and that should be as if separating the limbs. Now, can you see David? Can you see what he's doing? I mean, he's not just patty caking. He's having himself a time. That's what the word means is he's just leaping and he's showing forth his strength because he's doing it with all of his might. He's magnifying the king. He's not. He is showing his strength in his magnification of the Lord, and he leaps and he's throwing forth his limbs. 2 Samuel 6:16. It also says the word dancing there. Karach. And it means to dance and whirl, whirl around. Here he comes. He's just dancing. He's swinging forth his limbs and he's spinning around. And he's the king of Israel. And then in 1 Chronicles, we have the same story. 1 Chronicles chapter, I think it's 15, verse 29. Yeah, there it is. 1 Chronicles 15, 29. Another word there that they use over there that they don't use right here, but it's the word playing. He was playing, the Bible says, before God. Shashak. And that means to laugh in pleasure. And it means by implications to play. And it's interpreted to laugh, make merry, play, rejoice, and be in sport. You think David was having a good time? You think David had a good time when he went to church? How'd you like to be in one of David's church services? How'd you like for him to be your pastor? I'm telling you, he has a good time when he goes to church. When he went to the house of the Lord, he said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because he's going to have a good time. He's going to dance. He's going to play. He's just going to have a big time before God. He's going to shout. He's going to laugh. 1 Chronicles 15:29 also uses the word dancing, but it's another Hebrew word, rokod. And it means to stamp. Learned that from Bonnie. You stamp and you spring about wildly for joy. Dance, jump, leap, and skip. Now this is the king of Israel I'm talking about. This is what God's rebuilding today. This is the reconstruction of the tabernacle of David. He is doing something in our very midst. He's doing something around us. But more importantly, he's doing something with us. He's raising a people that are after God's own heart and that are willing to seek after God with all of their might and are willing to get in the very depths and crevices of God and find out how he wants us to praise him and worship him.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. And David's people was a dominion and a kingdom people. Never did the kingdom get bigger than when David was king. Him and Solomon ruled it. He was a warrior, but he liked to praise God. Dominion people and a kingdom people. And then I want to just give you, I don't have it on overhead. The same time that there's a people that's expressing this amount of worship and praise to God, there's another people that's looking out of their windows. And there's something in their heart that's ugly. The Bible goes on to say, and she despised him in her heart. She despised him in her heart. That word despised means just exactly what it says. She was not pleased at all with her husband. She looked. That word look means to lean out, to peep or gaze. You ever been praising God and you kind of notice people? They're peeping and they're gazing and they're looking out the window. And they're Michaels, and they really need to look at their heart. Why are they learning, or are they despising? You see, now we got to be careful, because there's a lot of people that look to learn. There's some people that look to despise. And so I'm really teaching all this and going through all this just to challenge you and to encourage you. Are you despising, or are you learning? Are you a David, or are you a Michael? I wonder who taught David to do this. How did David learn to do this? How? I really don't know, I guess. That just hit me. Holy Ghost, for sure. He was excited about it. He just loved God. He was a turned on Jesus freak. You know it.
Amen.
He was a charismaniac. That's right. It just comes from within, doesn't it? Nobody has to teach us to all of our favorite football team. You know, we just get excited about God. Now, I believe, though, with all of my heart, that there is a learning process that we go through. I mean, I wouldn't know to do some of the things that I do had I never saw anyone do them. So somebody instructs us in everything that we do. I heard a well-known evangelist I heard of a well-known evangelist that made this statement. Said, nobody's going to teach me how to dance before God. Teaching choreographic dance and dancing before God, it's not a spirit. But just a few minutes later, he had a bunch of people to come down to his altar. He said, pray after me. I want to teach you how to pray. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, I'm a sinner. Father, I'm a sinner. We allow people to teach us how to pray. We allow people to teach us how to play instruments for God, acquire practices and learns. But yet there's something here that we want to draw a line and say, that's as far as God can go. God can't go any further. No, I beg to differ. I think that we are learning all the time how to move in God.
Amen.
How to just go on in Him.
Amen.
So we see that Michael, she looked, she despised, she mocked. And then in verse 23, therefore Michael, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. She's barren. She looked, she despised, she mocked, and she's barren. There's a lot of churches today that are barren. The only way the presence of God is going to come is from a praising people. That the presence of God is going to enter into this city through a people that praises Him. It's not going to enter in through a barren people. There's a lot of Michaels. A lot of Michaels. Now, the word Michael is 4324 in the Strong's Concordance. And it means rivulet. And I didn't know what in the world. Does anybody know what rivulet might mean? So I had to ask Webster. And he says, it's a little river. Rivulet means a little river. A little river, you know, holding the hymnal, a little river, a little river. But Jesus didn't say, out of your bellies will flow a little river. He says, he that believeth on me, as the word hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, life-giving water. I don't want to be a little river. I want to be a flowing, gushing well pouring forth the life of God. I don't want to be a Michael. I want to be a David. One more thought, and then I'm going to let Bonnie and Judy minister. We will either have growth or stagnation. We'll either stagnate where we are right now in God, and say, this is good enough, this is far enough. Or either we'll have growth, not only numerically, but spiritually. I'm much more concerned about spiritual growth than I'm numerical. We'll either stop where we're at, or we'll go on with God. We'll either be a stagnant Michael people, or either we'll be a Davidic people who wants to conquer the whole land. One or the other. We will either have growth or stagnation in every area. Whether it be praise, whether it be worship, whether it be the word, whether it be in personal ministry, whether it be in dominion of this city, we'll either stop where we're at or we'll move on. I want to give you seven points that I've learned that cause stagnation. How many has ever said, never done it that way before? The ark had never come into Jerusalem that way before. David had never displayed his praise and his adoration and his love of God that way before. There had never been a tabernacle of David set up with just the Ark of the Covenant in it that way before. Number one, we've never done it that way before. God's a God who does things the way they've never been done before. He does things in my life, and He does things in your life in a brand new way every day. He brings people to Him in ways that I've never seen Him do it before. Doesn't mean He hasn't done it. Means that He's never done it around me that way before. Number two, we're not ready for that. We're not ready for that. Probably if there's anything you'll have to hold me back on is getting ahead of what we're ready for. I like to do what I see God doing. Sometimes I want to venture on out there And maybe there's a degree of truth to it. But I know in my heart that if I pray about it and I seek God about it and that I'm seriously, hungrily looking for it, I don't know that we can ever go to a place that we're not ready to be there. God won't allow us. Number two, we're not ready for that. We're going to be doing something today. I have to look at and evaluate, are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? I say we're ready for it. Some people may say, we're not ready for that. Number three, we're doing all right without it. Doing all right without it. Ever said that? Number four, we tried that once before. Number six, it costs too much. It costs too much. The elders meet. We talk about the cost of what all we want to see done in this room. One of the things that we always wonder, that costs too much. It's always me and Tebow that says it. Everybody else says, especially Ted, God owns the cattle on the thousand hills. He owns all the gold and all the silver. Number six, that's not our responsibility. Let somebody else do it. Let another church be the leader. Number seven, it just won't work. It just won't work. Never know till you try. Never done it that way. We're not ready for that. We're doing all right without it. We tried that once before. Cost too much. That's not our responsibility, and it just won't work. Seven steps to stagnation. Who wants to be a stagnant people? Not me. Not me. I want to go on with God. I want to know David. I want to know God like David knew God. I want to know him with all of my heart. I want to have a heart that's after God. I just want to be after him with all of my might. I want to seek after the things of God, know God in a special, special, special way. So I just close with this thought. Are you a David? Maybe you're a young David. Maybe you're learning. Maybe you're learning to really seek diligently after the things of God. Or are you a Michael? I really want you to search your heart and see. You need to be a David. You need to not be ashamed to display yourself before the people of God. He said, how glorious was the king of all of Israel. Down there displaying yourself to all those people. Don't care. Don't care about people. Display your heart to God. Are you a David or are you a Michael? Do you despise what God's doing? Or are you encouraged by it and motivated by it and seeking after it? Tonight I'll be looking at probably bringing the presence into the city. Looking at some preparatory things that has to be done. And then as the ark comes in, if the Lord wills, he may change me. I'm not real settled on that yet. But one thing we'll be looking at in some depth is the dance. Scripture's on dance. But right now, with the service as it's been, the praise as it's been, so much emphasis on the dance already, I want to, for some of you, raise you in another realm. Give you something to really go home and think about and chew on. For others of you, you've been waiting for us to do it. Some of you have been chomping at the bits and wanting us to go on and begin to get into some of the arts and some of the things that God's doing today in worship and praise. So there again, David's and Michael's. But as you see this, and as this is brought forth to you in the spirit in which it will be brought to you, I think it's going to minister to you. Makes me cry. Makes me cry. One thing, as I see my beautiful wife and my beautiful daughter doing something brand new in the earth. Secondly, I know that we are on the very cutting edge and the very forefront of what God's doing today. Makes me cry. For whom he did predestinate, him he also chose. Whom he chose, him he also did make righteous. Righteousness of God, and him he also made righteous, then he also did glorify. He has a people he wants to glorify today. But to start with, he predestined them. And so what I'm saying in all of that is it was predestined by the hand of God that what you're about to see, what you're about to partake of, and what you're about to witness, is predestined that you witness it. I think I'll said enough. Judy, if you'll just come on and